Well, take your Bibles with me, please, and open to John chapter 7. And today, a little change of pace, a change of pace. If you've been here in recent weeks, then you know that we have been going pretty quickly through some very hard truths. Hard truths like the world hates Jesus because Jesus testifies of this world that its deeds are evil. Hard truths like there are differences among Christians, and there are some who outright reject the teachings of Jesus Christ and yet proclaim to be Christian. And yet there are others who would never think to reject something that Jesus says. Hard truths like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, which, as we learned, is not at all literal. The flesh profits nothing. But rather, Jesus gave the gospel in a metaphor to say, unless you receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sins, you have no life in you. So we've been plowing through some hard truths to this time today. Little change of pace. Much easier to swallow truth. And maybe I'll even speak a little slower, but we'll see. Only for today. We are going to be in John 7:10 and then quite a few other passages of Scripture to talk about Christian decision-making. How many of you in your lifetime have made some pretty important decisions? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you think that in your lifetime still you will make some pretty important decisions? All right, that's a big deal. It affects all of us. The bigger decision, the bigger the deal that is. So we need to learn from Christ and the Scriptures what that looks like. Let's take a look at John 7:10. The text is John 7:10 and other Scriptures. The title is Christian Decision Making. 7:10 says, "But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were, in secret." Now let me just start off. I often will say, well, what is this about? I'm not telling you that John 7:10 is all about Christian decision making. Okay? However, part of the gospel for Christians, part of the good news for us who believe, is that Christ is our wisdom from God. You ever think about that? I mean, there's a verse that says that. You probably know it. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him, of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." The verse says, "and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Of course, Christ is our all in all. But he is our wisdom. I saw an amazing quote this week that I just have been pondering. And it said, "For centuries, philosophers have sought wisdom. They have studied knowledge, seeking answers to life's greatest questions." And that's true, right? Over the centuries, philosophers have sought wisdom. And of course, they seek answers to questions like, where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we headed? And how should we live? But do you know that if you are in Jesus Christ, Christ is your wisdom from God? And we have answers to all of those questions. And 1,000 more besides. We have answers to where we've come from. God, in his grace, created us and has given us life and breath and all things. We know why we're here. It is to glorify the God of heaven and to make him known to the people around us. We know where we're headed. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you're headed for heaven. Praise God for that. And we know how to live. We walk by the Spirit. We walk by faith and not by sight. Well, because Christ is our wisdom from God, everything about Christ is profitable. Everything. Not just what he says. Of course, studying Jesus' words is profitable, but also studying what Jesus does, how he thinks, how he deals with people, situations, how he responds, how he gives an answer, and even how he makes decisions. So look again at 7:10. John 7:10. "But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were, in secret." Now Jesus made a decision here. And it is not according to conventional wisdom. He made a decision to go to the feast in Judea, not openly, but as it were, in secret, which means he probably did, well, which means for sure he didn't travel in the caravan. Okay, when Jews would go from Galilee up to Jerusalem, it was a long trip, and they would go in a caravan all together. You remember how big that caravan was because Joseph and Mary lost track of Jesus for some period of time before they even realized he was missing. A large group of people would travel back and forth from Galilee to the feasts. So when it says Jesus went in secret, it probably means he did not go in the caravan. And we read in verse 1 of this chapter, take a look, that for a time, Jesus was walking in Galilee, preaching and teaching up there. He didn't want to go to Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now, question for you. Has that now changed?
No.
No, they are still seeking to kill him. And yet, he goes up to the feast. Interesting. So how is Jesus making these decisions? You know, last week we saw his brothers told him he ought to go now. He doesn't go right away. He waits. How is Jesus making decisions like cleansing the temple? Like going through Samaria? Like coming out midway in the feast when it says, verse 14, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught? How is Jesus making these decisions? And how should you? That's an important question, isn't it? Because making decisions is part of the Christian life. We make them all the time. Some of the decisions you make are big ones, right? I'm sure by now in life you know that the way you make decisions and the decisions you make can affect you, your children, your parents, your spouse, everyone around you, your happiness, your joy, your relationships, your reputation, your job, your health, your future. And that's a short list. Decisions can be massive in their consequences. And so we need to know how to make decisions. In some of them, there's a lot at stake. Wouldn't it be great if we could gain some insight from Jesus Christ? Of course it would. So two questions. How did Jesus make decisions, and how should you? Very simple. Number one, Jesus made decisions not according to human wisdom. Not according to human wisdom. Look again at verse 10. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. See the words openly and secret? That is on purpose. It is in direct contrast for the wisdom that his brothers gave him in verses 3 and 4. Take a look. Verse 3, his brothers said to him, depart from here, go into Judea, that your disciples may see the works that you are doing. Here's their wisdom. Here's their principle. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Interesting, right? There we see that Jesus' own brothers, four of them, gave Jesus a wisdom principle by which they think he should decide to go up to the feast in Judea now and go openly. Jesus doesn't go when they say, and he goes in the opposite manner of what they advised. So how is Jesus making decisions? Well, clearly not according to human wisdom, and honestly, we've seen that all along. When Jesus Christ cleansed the temple in John 2, clearing them out with a whip made of cords, was that according to human wisdom? No, I think many of us would have said, hey, you sure you want to do that? In John chapter 4, when Jesus went through Samaria, when he talked to the woman at the well, when he confronted her saying, you have said correctly that you have no husband, you have had five husbands, and the man that you are now with is not your husband. Was that according to human wisdom? It was not. In John 5, we saw how already the Jews were seeking to kill Jesus. And even though he knew that, he went on for a very long discourse in John chapter 5, telling them that he is in fact so equal with God that unless you honor Jesus Christ as God, you dishonor God. And then he confronted them with the fact that they have no love of God in them, they do not know the word of God, and Moses himself is going to accuse them to the Father. Was that according to human wisdom? It was not. Same thing here. And you get the point, right? Jesus Christ, throughout his life and in his ministry, was making decisions not according to human worldly wisdom. Well, let's just stop and think about that. When you make decisions, should you go to the library or go to the bookstore and get the greatest self-help book written by the world? Should you go to ungodly counselors? Should you consult unbelievers? Should you make decisions according to human wisdom? Now, the answer is no. No, you should not. God has exposed the wisdom of this world as foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:20 and 1 Corinthians 3:19. Not only that, the application of the entire gospel of Jesus Christ, in summary, is given in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Of course, one is to present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. But Romans 12:2 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, That includes in the way that you make decisions. Don't be like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What has God given us for that? The Word of God, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So listen, how many of you are young people? Raise your hand. That's pretty open, right? Oh, good. Okay, good, good. And so the rest of you, now you young people, listen, if you have more than half of your life yet before you, you're going to be making some really big decisions. I look at some of the really young people who have maybe college, career, job, marriage, buying decisions. Don't make those according to human wisdom. That is so common, even in the church. To just make them spur of the moment, to not get counsel, to not seek God in prayer. Don't be like the world. Be in the Word of God. How many of you remember, this is a kind of a trick question. There is one distinguishing mark of the blessed man in Psalm 1. What is that one distinguishing mark? The one main one. Okay, that's the first part. He doesn't walk according to the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of scorners. But, and there's the contrast, right? Well, what does this guy do? Where does he go for counsel? Where does he find his path in life? And what is his authority? That's what's identified by those first three. Okay? There you go. He's in this. So I just ask you, are you like the blessed man? Could God say of you, oh yes, I see that you meditate on my word, seeking counsel, looking for your path in life, and viewing this as your authority. You know what? If you are, then you should enjoy the results. Stability, right? You should be like a tree planted. Sufficiency, planted by the streams of water. Productivity, that brings forth its fruit in season. Immortality, whose leaf will not wither. And prosperity, in whatever he does, he prospers. What's the point? Jesus Christ made decisions not according to the counsel of the ungodly. Not according to worldly wisdom or the wisdom of this world. And you should do the same. That should be off limits for you. I am not going to follow the wisdom of this world in making decisions, and in particular, the big decisions. Right? Decisions about marriage. Decisions about what to do with your money. How to use your mouth. There's a big one. You know, when I do premarital counseling with couples, I say, I'll give you premarital counseling in two words. Follow Jesus. And then I just break that down. Follow him in your meditations, with your mouth, with your money, in making decisions, and all other matters. Part of that is don't make decisions according to the wisdom of this world. Be like Joshua, right? God said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Second, how did Jesus make decisions and how should you? Well, Jesus made decisions not merely according to self-interest. Not merely according to self-interest. Now, verse 10 says, but when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. You might think, well, that's obvious. Jesus is just trying to preserve himself. He's just trying to save himself. He's just looking out for number one. If you think that, then what about verse 14? About the middle of the feast, he went up into the temple and he began to teach. Not only that, notice what Jesus says to those who wanted to kill him. Verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Ho, ho. Jesus Christ is saying that to Jews in Jerusalem, in the temple. And then he says, why do you seek to kill me? He says that because he knew they were. So listen, Jesus is not making these decisions about what to say, where to go, what to do, according to merely his self-interest. What about you? There's a principle there, right? Should you make decisions looking out merely for your own interests? Well, here's the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing, that's pretty comprehensive, right? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You know, I used to think about better than himself. Should I esteem, or should Adam esteem me a better piano player than himself? Philippians 2:3, Adam, you need to count me a better piano player than you. Well, go ahead and play something, John. Those who come on Wednesday night know that I know one tune, and that one poorly. It doesn't mean to consider others better than you. It actually means to consider others higher than you, meaning you are their servant. That's a totally different picture, isn't it? This is part of how we make decisions. I need to consider those around me as more important than me. And I cannot just look out for my own interests. I have to look out for the interests of those around me. That is wisdom, right? 1 Corinthians 13:5, love does not seek its own. That means if you have love for other people, you cannot merely think about your own interests when it comes to making decisions. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That one, interestingly, 1 Corinthians 10, is a reference to decisions within this massive realm we call Christian liberty. Many of the decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis are within that realm. You know, we're not thinking about, should I rob this bank or not rob this bank? We're thinking about how to do things that are within the realm where God has given us freedom. But even in that realm, we have the freedom and the responsibility to choose wisely. I know that some of you are probably facing decisions right now. I don't know what decisions you're facing. But they could be big ones, right? So let me encourage you. Don't make your decision according to human wisdom, and don't merely look out for your own selfish interest. It's not biblical. It's not Christian. You have to think about how will this decision affect other people? What will your decision teach other people? What will you be teaching by whatever you decide? How will your decision affect your testimony for Jesus Christ? How can your decision affect your ministry in the future? Interestingly, even among Christians, to make decisions like this, meaning not merely for self-interest, is apparently rare. Some of you will recall what Paul says concerning Timothy to the saints in Philippi. He says to the saints, the church in Philippi, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly so that I might be encouraged when I know your state. And then he answers this question. Why is he sending Timothy? Timothy was already busy. Timothy was involved in Ephesus. Why is he sending him to Philippi? Here's why. Because I have no one who is like-minded who will sincerely care for your state because all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. You know, when Paul says all seek their own, he's not talking all unbelievers. He meant those fellow ministers together with him were not people that he could send. That is a sad statement. It's just a sad statement. And so, by application, would you rather be like Timothy, seeking the things which are of Christ as you make decisions? Or would you rather be like the all, the rest, seeking their own? Third, Jesus, and here's the ultimate one, right? You said, okay, not according to human worldly wisdom, not merely according to self-interest, but third, this is the overriding principle, Jesus made decisions according to the will and the wisdom of God. According to the will and wisdom of God. Turns out this is a theme in John's gospel. Turn back to chapter 5, verse 19. John 5, 19. I won't go into the details. We studied this verse when we covered this section, but Jesus saying to the Jews who wanted to kill him, in verse 19 says, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. But now notice, drop down to verse 30. Jesus says almost the same thing, but with a little clarification. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. What is Jesus hearing? The Father. Right? The picture that we get is Jesus had a very close relationship with the Father. At times he's praying for hours. At times he's praying all night. And as he hears, he says, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. Why is Jesus, judgment is a word for decision making. As I make judgments, as I make decisions, my judgment is righteous. Why? Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That is a principle of Christian or Christ-like decision making. I'm not seeking merely my own will. I'm seeking the will of the Father. Now, in areas of Christian liberty, that's where it's hardest. How do you do that? As we said, with the kids, right? We pray, we search the scriptures, we maybe get some counsel, and we decide. We have freedom. You know, we have freedom to go on vacation. You have freedom to do things you enjoy. God is not a killjoy. But you still need to take into consideration other people's interests. You know, what if you were planning a big hunting trip? planning a big hunting trip, and you've been planning this for a while, and now your wife is sick. Well, honey, you know I've been planning this hunting trip for a long time. I know, honey. Well, come on. Suck it up. Here's some NyQuil. This works great. You know, you might have to cancel the big hunting trip, right? I mean, your wife might go, go ahead, honey. I'll be fine. I'm on the meal chain. But the principle here is to seek to do God's will, right? And of course, you have to come to a conviction in that. Look at what else Jesus says about this. Turn to John 8:28. John 8:28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. Same truth in John 5:19 and 5:30. I do nothing of myself. Means I don't make decisions on my own. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. This is the ultimate Christian decision-making principle. Will this please the Father? Will this please Jesus Christ? You might say, well, Jesus had some advantages, and I see him right here. It says the Father taught him in verse 28, and it says the Father was with him. So there's a question. Jesus had the Word of God, and he had the presence of God to help him in his decisions. You know what the question is, right? Do you have the Word of God? And do you have the presence of God to guide you in your decisions? Because another major part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we have His Word. And Paul goes so far as to say, we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, end of the chapter. Right? No, 1 Corinthians 2, end of the chapter. We have the mind of Christ. And part of the gospel is the Spirit of God. Jesus said, He will be with you. Right? I will not leave you alone. Exact same words that he uses here of the Father. Jesus says, we will not leave you alone. The Father and I will be with you. What did Jesus say when he gave the Great Commission? And I will be with you all the days. So turn now to 2 Corinthians 5:9. We're going to look at a couple other scriptures. This is the ultimate Christian decision-making principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. And notice why this is the principle for us. Paul says, therefore we make it our aim. Your Bible might say our ambition. This is our zealous striving. In all that we do, all that we say, and all that we decide, this is our ambition, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Why? To be well-pleasing to the Lord. Why? Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. One day we will give an account for the decisions that we make, for what we taught by those decisions, for even how we made those decisions. Turn over now to Ephesians chapter 5. Because what I want you to see is this is what it means to live out your day-to-day life for Jesus Christ. This is what it means to walk in the light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Actually, I should back up to verse 7, which tells us to not be partakers with those who deceive, those who are disobedient. We can't be partakers with the unbelieving world, and that would include in the way we make decisions. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk, what's that? A metaphor for how you live out your day-to-day life, right? One step at a time, one day at a time. Walk, live out your day-to-day Christian life as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then verse 10 is how you walk as children of light. Here's how you do it. Finding out what is acceptable or well-pleasing to the Lord. That's where you pray, you take your Bible, you ask God for wisdom and direction and guidance and counsel, and then you make your decision. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. One man wrote this. In the matter of daily life and decision-making, Christians are to find out and act upon the will of God, which demands careful thought, discernment, and discretion. See Romans 12:2.
Yeah.
Look down at verse 15, Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And all I'm communicating to you this morning is that part of God's will for your life is that you make decisions wisely. You know, back in John's Gospel, behind the scenes of all that we've seen so far in John's Gospel is Jesus Christ, our Lord, making decisions. Important, strategic, difficult ministry and life decisions. God's way is the way of wisdom. His will is for you to make them not according to human wisdom, not merely according to what serves your own interests or even the desires of your flesh, but according to what pleases Christ. And to that end, you have His Word and you have His Holy Spirit. As Paul says in Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. That's a promise. We could end there, but I want to give you one proverb that I have found to be most helpful when it comes to this whole matter of making decisions. So turn back to the book of Proverbs and chapter 19. I guess I would say if I had to pick one proverb that I have used more often in counseling others in decision making and in using it when Denise and I face decisions, and we've had to face some big ones, you know, over the years, as moving and ministry and mission field, we've had to face some major decisions. This is one we come back to over and over again. Proverbs 19, verse 2. It says also, interesting conjunction, because Proverbs 19, 2 is a matter of integrity. 19, 1 says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And another aspect of your integrity is it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet. Two serious mistakes in decision making are here being exposed, and you don't want to make these decisions, or these mistakes, I'm sorry. The first one is a lack of knowledge. The first one is making a decision without really gathering the knowledge you need to make that decision. We had a young man attending here some years ago, and he wanted to be married, and we all knew that he wanted to be married, and I think we were all trying to fix him up with people. And he told me one day he'd met a gal online, and he told me how amazing she is. I mean, she was wonderful. I mean, this is the one. And then I said, wow, you seem to know, where are you getting all of your information? Well, from her. Where else? I said, well, are you getting your information anywhere else? He'd never met anyone who knew her, never met the folks, never met brothers and sisters, never met coworkers. She was back east, and he only talked to her online. But she's amazing, and she's the one. And he's thinking about flying back east with a ring. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. And my next question was, well, how many good and godly people are counseling you to do that? You know what the number was? Zero. Right? Serious mistake, right? Making a decision without taking time to get knowledge from all the sources that you can. The bigger the decision, the more knowledge and information you want. And then what's the second one? It's like it. The second line says, he who hastens with his feet sins. That's making a decision hastily before it's time. Here again, when it comes to the realm of Christian liberty, which, you know, a lot of our decisions are in that sphere, if you're not sure what to do, then you are sure that you're not ready to do anything, right? So anytime you say, you know, I'm just not sure what to do, good. At least you know that much. You're not ready to decide because you're not sure what to do, right? Whatever is not of faith is what? Sin. Go ahead and say it. Whatever is not of faith is sin. That's the end of Romans 15. That whole discussion about Christian liberty and let each one become fully convinced. If you're not fully convinced that this is the right thing to do, or that you wouldn't do this, it's not time yet to decide. So, beloved, learn to make decisions like Jesus Christ. Not according to human worldly wisdom, not merely according to your own self-interests or fleshly desires, but according to the will and the wisdom of God, seeking to be pleasing to Him. And avoid the mistakes of making decisions with too little knowledge and with too little time, having taken too little time to make them. If you're here today as a brother or sister in Jesus Christ, praise God for His Word, for His Holy Spirit, for His counsel, and for his forgiveness. Because the gospel is not that we make right decisions. The gospel is that despite all of our bad decisions, which we still stumble in many ways and we still fall short, despite all of our failures, all of our sins, all of our transgressions, Christ has paid the price for it all. We are forgiven in him. Decision-making is not the gospel, right? But part of the gospel is that we do have, in Christ, in his word and with his spirit, the ability to make good, wise decisions. If you're today and you're not in Christ, you don't know Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you're missing out. You're missing out. If you think there's no God, the Bible says it is the fool who has said in his heart, there is no God. It's not true. There is a God in heaven. We have all sinned against him, but Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. To that end, he gave his life on the cross as a payment for sins, rose up from the dead, and soon he is coming again. You do not want to be found by him without faith when he comes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this reminder about how to be wise in Christ. We pray that you would help us in that, Father. And Father, specifically, I pray for anyone in this place this morning who is in the throes of a decision, thinking about what to do, what to say, how to respond, how to react. Maybe it's a buying decision. Maybe it's a job decision. Maybe it's a school decision. Maybe it's a marriage decision. Maybe it's a ministry decision. Father, please give us wisdom. Help us to be careful and wise and honor you. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.